The reason I was emphasizing on the age was later she told me that that was the first time someone actually baked her a cake.
We experience that moment, that input, and then it sets off a chain reaction inside of us and we end up getting emotionally disturbed.
Two couples went out for dinner and someone cut them off on the road. They followed the guy. It's like couples. Okay, I can understand one person sitting in the car and this happens and you're totally not thinking straight.
She said, oh, I had to go like on this really roundabout way. So she was walking. If she crossed the road, it might have been like a half a mile walk. But because she couldn't cross the road, she had to go on this really strange, elaborate journey around all these other roads.
And the trigger could be, I'm beginning to realize the spouse really doesn't care about me at all, right? Don't think, oh, I'm just being silly. I'm, you know, maybe the spouse does care and it's just me. And don't deny it.
Lots of love, many blessings. Welcome back. Yay. How are you doing, Shireen?
Good. Lovely to be here with you.
Oh, it's always a joy. Today we're diving into triggers. Do you ever get triggered by people or by things that happen? People maybe don't get back to your messages, or someone might cut you off in traffic, or someone says something, or they might look at you in a certain way. There's so many potential triggers we can have. Even smells, you know, a smell can trigger a memory from something, and that can trigger us. Certain music can trigger us. There are endless potential triggers, and a trigger is something where we experience that moment, that input, and then it sets off a chain reaction inside of us, and we end up getting emotionally disturbed. And emotionally disturbed at a much higher level than it seems would be rational. So someone might look at you a certain way and you just think completely lose it, or someone doesn't get back to you and you think, oh my God, like what happened? Are they dead or something? There's all these things that come up. So we're going to be talking about triggers, what they are, why they're there, and what you can do to heal yourself so that those things no longer trigger you, so you can experience much more peace and ease in your life. So welcome. Yay. Shireen, we were talking before the podcast about someone who you baked a cake for, and this is a really interesting example of a trigger. Do you want to just share that story briefly?
Right. So I didn't know the person for too long, and their birthday came up, and it was like, 27th birthday or something like that, 27th birthday. And because I knew the person, I thought, oh, let me bake a cake for this person. And I baked a cake and, you know, we had a little gathering and she just started sobbing uncontrollably. I was like, what happened? Is something wrong with the cake? I didn't know what was going on. Right?
What did you make?
I know. The reason I was emphasizing on the age was later she told me that that was the first time someone actually baked her a cake for her birthday.
Yeah.
I thought that was shocking.
That is shocking.
And also you don't know what you're doing that triggers people. Like you think you're just going about your normal life. And then suddenly something triggers. I mean, it's been happening to me a lot lately. Like, you think you're just being you, and then suddenly, you know.
People having meltdowns.
People get really triggered.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I have a friend of mine, actually, in Hawaii, and whenever I talk to her, she says that she's constantly triggering people. Like, she's just going about... doesn't trigger me at all, but... she keeps telling me about, she just goes about her way and she just goes on and on about all these stories where she's not doing anything really. She hasn't got any bad wishes towards people. She's just getting on with it. And this is back to back to back drama. And so it can be quite baffling when you haven't done anything really and someone is totally losing it. And you think, what the hell, what is going on here? So in that story with this person, what do you think, what was going on with that? Because obviously baking a cake is not like a reason for massive emotional
Right, yeah. Right. You know, so much lack of love in the soul, and someone actually showed some interest and something for the soul, and the soul really got so emotionally bent out of shape. And it's understandable, actually. It's understandable. For me, the shocking thing was no one baked her a cake. That was the shocking thing.
Yeah, the fact that someone can go through their whole life and no one really paid much attention to their birthday and didn't care about them. And then someone finally does, like 27 years later, and it's just such a shock that that cake goes deep into the soul. Like what that represents connects to all the past wounds from years and years and years and years and years, and then it all just erupts, and then it leads to that reaction. So a trigger, when we get triggered, the reason for it is because of something that isn't about the thing. We're triggered by something that's not what happened.
It's good to know. It's not you.
Yeah, it is good to know. So you might be triggering other people, or you might be gang triggered, but it's not about the event. Like, I've heard stories of people in relationships where like one person like doesn't put the cap back on the toothpaste in the bathroom or something, and
grounds for divorce.
And it's that's it. I'm just, that's the end of it, right? And it can be leaving the toilet seat up or some little thing like that, right? And they just completely lose it. One of the most classic examples that happens quite frequently is road rage.
Hey, toilet seat up is grounds for divorce.
I mean, that is, you've got to, I mean, it, maybe you give them warning once and then that's it. You know, once is
that's
enough.
That's it. Maybe I'll give them three warnings.
Three warnings.
Fourth, and that's it after that.
Fourth time out. That's it. They come back, all their stuff's out on the outside on the road, and that's it. So... same thing with road rage, right? Someone cuts you off, the only real reasonable, decent response is to kill them, isn't it, really?
You know, in Florida, it's so, that's not common, but you hear about it a lot. I know people, right? I know people who I was working with, someone cut them off on the road, and these, like, there were two couples went out for dinner and someone cut them off on the road. And I'm sure the guy wasn't even thinking about this. They followed the guy. It's like couples. Okay, I can understand one person sitting in the car and this happens and you're totally not thinking straight. But I'm like, what are the other people doing? Not giving you sense? Like, this is not a good idea to follow this person just because he cut you off. I mean, they followed him and they took him out of the car, and I'm thinking, are you serious? Yeah. That happens a lot. Thankfully, the guy didn't get killed, but that happens a lot.
Yeah, I remember, I wouldn't say I cut someone off, but I was like turning a corner in a way that wasn't the proper way of doing it. And someone was coming the other direction from the stupa, the Buddhist stupa, right? And they'd come from the stupa, so they were there for meditation, and they completely lost it. You know, because they couldn't, these little things, right? And I was really quite surprised. I was about to go to Hawaii or something, and I was just going there for my little meditation. And I thought, this is disproportionate to what's going on. So triggers are very interesting, because something happens that's actually not a big deal, and the response to it is complete blow up. And emotion, it's like pressing a button, and it activates a machine. And it goes click, 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 and it goes down this process of escalation, and then major meltdown, and then all these thoughts and feelings and irrational response. And if someone doesn't basically deal with what's really going on, then this can carry on happening and carry on happening and carry on happening, and it can be very destabilizing emotionally.
Exactly. You know, at this point, we really need to talk about the subconscious. People always say, right, the subconscious and the conscious mind is like the iceberg, that 70% of it is below the surface and 30% or whatever percent is above the surface. And one of the things I've noticed is that people don't really address the subconscious. They don't really heal the subconscious. And if you don't heal the subconscious, you don't address the subconscious, then the subconscious mind, whether you like it or not, right? Whether you heal it, you don't heal it, whatever it is, the subconscious mind is playing a very active role in your life. And if there are emotionally unresolved issues, right? Like randomly you cut people off in traffic and you take a gun. That is an emotionally unresolved issue. Why is it that you feel the need to take out a gun? And so they're emotionally unresolved issues. And these emotionally unresolved issues, what happens is they become very tyrannical in your life. You think it's okay, I'm not going to, you know, it's just in the subconscious mind, I don't need to do anything about it. But that's not true. They really make their presence felt. And they are ruling you from the background. And almost to the point of where you don't have control over your life. You don't have control over your emotions. You don't have control over the way you feel. Anything can trigger you any moment, and all because you're not addressing the subconscious mind.
Yeah, this is very dangerous because it means that we're basically walking on eggshells on some level. And one method is to try and avoid all the triggers, right? That's what a lot of people try and do. Just avoid all these triggers and then you won't get triggered. But the problem is we can't avoid everything, can we, really? And there's always new triggers.
It's very inefficient also.
Yeah, it's not. It's because it can take enormous amount of work. Like I remember talking to someone who I was teaching meditation to probably about 23 years ago or something. And she told me that she can't cross roads. Right, it's a phobia. She can't cross the street. So I said, "How did you get here to the center?" And she said, "Oh, I had to go like on this really roundabout way." So she was walking. If she crossed the road, it might have been like a half a mile walk. But because she couldn't cross the road, she had to go on this really strange, elaborate journey around all these other roads where she wasn't crossing a road the whole time. Right, so there's ways around. So she looks on the map. So she ended up walking, I don't know, like 7 miles or something to go half a mile because she was triggered by crossing the road.
How inefficient that is, right? If she just addressed what is the reason for her phobia of crossing roads, you know. And I'm not saying overnight you can just get rid of the phobia, but you can start working on it. It really helps. There are modalities that help very much.
Yeah, because like if you think about, like in her case, how many extra hours in just one day is she going to spend walking? And you add that up over a period of 5 or 10 years. This is massive, massive, massive amount of time that's gone into
it's totally inefficient.
So whereas you could get counseling, coaching, meditation practices and overcome it in a fraction of the time that it takes to sustain the issue, or in the fraction of the time it takes to try and control our environment so we don't get triggered, which we can't really pull off long term. And even if we try and control our environment, guess what's going to happen? What's going to happen, Shereen? If I try and control everything so I don't get triggered, what's eventually going to happen?
Nothing. It's ridiculous. That's the paradox of control, right? We are trapped in a paradox, actually. We are trapped in the paradox of control because many of us, many people, 90% of the people I meet have control issues. And it's a pathological control problem. Like we want to control everything. And this disease of control, everyone has. And in some way, right? But you have to shine a light on it. Because if you don't shine a light on it and you keep trying to control, then it gets worse. Like you think you're controlling, and the more you try to control, the more it eludes you. That's what we are trapped in.
Yeah, so it's coping with coping with coping with coping. It's a whole long line of coping. So we have a trauma, so we try and control our environment, but that has a side effect. So we have to deal with the side effects of trying to control things, and we have to just deal with the side effects that they create, and it just goes on and on. So why don't we just take a moment now to pause, think about what triggers you have listening to this, watching this. Just think about, is there something that triggered you recently, or is there a certain thing that you know always triggers you? Maybe it's certain music, certain people, certain situations. Just take a moment to think of one trigger. I imagine people, if you're watching and listening to this, you have triggers, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this. Think of something. You can even write it down if you like. And now the next question is, what is it that's really going on? What is really going on? And would you like to heal this? Would you like to heal it? And one of the key things, right, is that we have to consciously have a desire to face and a willingness to deal with this stuff, right? Because a lot of the time, there is actually a lack of willingness to face stuff directly, because it brings up a lot of stuff, doesn't it? That's why this is going on for a long time. So I want everyone to ask yourself, are you willing to look at whatever it is honestly and deal with it? If you have something that you'd like to deal with, then what, Shireen, what can they do to actually address this trauma and get it resolved?
You know, we have a process in the Brahma Kumaris called check and change. And it sounds simple, but this whole checking process is shining a light. So 50% of the problem is shining a light. The 50% of the problem gets resolved if you're willing to admit that there is a problem and shine a light on it. And then after that, you have to be willing to change. You have to be willing to transform this, right? You have to be willing to transform and say, no, my emotional issues shouldn't trigger me. And what I noticed is God and time are really great healers. God and time. It sounds so cliched, but it's true. God and time. But time is only a healer if you're willing to shine a light on it. If you shove it under the carpet, if you just suppress it, then it's not going to happen. Time cannot heal. But if you keep looking at it, if you keep bringing it out, keep shining a light on it, then time can be a healer. Like, just give it enough time. And just by the process of shining a light and seeing that, no, this is a problem, I need to overcome this, I need to go past this, then you will start healing. But definitely the ocean of love, God, the ocean of love, is the healer. So God the healer, right? What happens is anytime I have stuff going on, I never tell myself it's okay not to face what's going on. And I face and I always take it to God. And I feel the ocean of love, the ocean of compassion is there for me. And just the presence, the vibrations, everything makes it really healing. It makes it easy to heal. Just the presence of God, just you invoking the presence of God heals, because that presence heals.
Someone, you know, has triggered by a person or and something happened, right? And it keeps coming up. What specifically should they do practically?
It depends on what the trigger is, right? We'll get into what the trigger is in a minute, but let's talk about this. So let's say I'm walking down the street, I see a dog and get totally bent out of shape. Or I see some person and I get emotionally triggered. I see my ex and get totally triggered, right? So one of those things are happening. So you shine a light. You acknowledge, yes, this is happening. Don't distract yourself. Don't shove it under the carpet. Don't say it's not there. Acknowledge it is there and invoke a higher power, the source, the divine, however you want to connect with your higher power, invoke that presence into this. Like I always, let's say I'm triggered by, you know, someone saying something to me. And I always shine a light and say, okay, higher power, we say Baba. Say, Baba, I want you to be here with me. I'm looking at this and I'm really upset about this. So can you just be here with me? And just the presence and just being in that loving presence really helps.
Right. To get divine support, God's help, divine energy, to look at it, get a light shined on it. And to also, you know, recognize that this is something that goes back often to childhood traumas and past lives. I mean, we don't really know necessarily exactly where all these things started from. A lot of these triggers are past life things. Like sometimes we have these emotional reactions to certain things that we don't even know about. And like, why do I care about that thing at all? Because it's something that goes way back and it's just being prodded. So to recognize that you're safe, that you're secure, to come in, because we can't deal with triggers if we fundamentally feel unsafe. If you're freaking out and you think, oh my God, and you go into this kind of like fight or flight response, then you're not going to get anywhere. So you have to make sure that you're in a comfortable, calm place where you're physically safe and you're in an environment that's relaxed. Maybe put some nice music on and take the time to let that beautiful energy come in and heal your heart. We can go into this in a lot more detail in another session, like practically, because this is dealing with these traumas and all these things is quite nuanced. Right. But the first thing is just acknowledging that you have it, being willing to deal with it and not to stuff it under the carpet or to stick it in a cupboard and lock the cupboard, stick it in the basement, lock it. And we don't go down into the basement. We don't hit, I know that there's knocking on the door, but I'm not going to answer the door. That's not going to work. We have to go in there and have a look, turn the light on. And a lot of the time, it's not as bad as you think, actually. It can happen quicker.
No, it could be also. It could be as bad as we think.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's say I'm triggering someone, right? Like, let's say I am with my spouse, and the spouse is doing something that is totally triggering me. And the trigger could be I'm beginning to realize the spouse really doesn't care about me at all. Right. Don't think, oh, I'm just being silly. Maybe the spouse does care and it's just me. And don't deny it. Right. Like that. Don't minimize what you're feeling. Don't normalize what's going on. This is very important, because if you keep normalizing the behavior and minimizing what I'm feeling, normalizing their behavior, minimizing what I'm feeling, the emotional wounds gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it keeps going into the subconscious even more and even more and even more. And it's going to be harder to get out. And so you have to acknowledge that this is how I'm feeling. If that is what you're experiencing, don't deny your experience. That is what you're experiencing. And just allow that experience to happen and acknowledge that experience.
I suppose there's different kinds of triggers, isn't there? Some are irrational, based on internal stuff that goes back a long way and doesn't make any sense to the situation. But other triggers are actually based on real things happening in our life that need to be dealt with. Like if we're in an unhealthy relationship and we're being triggered by the person, we don't want to say, oh, let me just work on myself and just carry on with the thing. We actually might need to get out of the relationship and do something about it. Many times the reason it's coming up is because we have to do something. We have to make a change. And it's going to keep triggering us until we finally make the shift, whether that's doing something physically or whether it's changing something internally, or it might be both. But we know that the trigger has been reduced or removed when we get that same situation and it doesn't have any effect on us. And that's actually quite a wonderful feeling, where you're like, oh, wow, that used to really trigger me, and now I just don't care.
Right.
Like, oh, that's great. Ah, what a relief.
That feels like such a victory, doesn't it?
Yeah. I don't care. Like, it's not having, I have no emotional feeling about it at all. You know, it's like, ah. That's like a magical victory, a wonderful victory. Yeah, I've had that a lot of times with different things that used to be such a big deal. And I'm just like, it doesn't mean anything now. So
I've been thinking about that a lot. Not just triggers, right? Just what in the present moment am I going to care about 5 years from now? Let's say I'm upset about someone, something. 5 years from now, will I still be upset? Let's say I'm going after something. I have deep desires for something. 5 years from now, will that desire still be relevant? And let's say I'm spending a lot of time on something. 5 years from now, is it really, am I helping my future self by spending this time on this thing? And so even with emotional triggers, we can ask ourselves this question. It's like something from legacy from the past we are dealing with. But we can also ask ourselves the question, is this really important? Is it going to happen? If I keep continuing to not look at it, how will I feel about it 5 years from now? And so if it's not going to go anywhere, I'm going to be the same, I'm going to still be upset, then it's really important to deal with it right now. Because you can't keep putting it off. That's very inefficient behavior. Because you have to deal with it anyway at some point.
Yeah, that's just common sense. It's like spiritual sense, common sense, that if we have to deal with it, then why put it off for years to come? Because all we're doing really is wasting our life and putting up with lots of distractions. And what we have to realize is that all the things we do to try and avoid stuff, oftentimes those things are bad for us. So not only are we not making any progress, we're also causing problems to ourselves on top of that. So that's just really not a good use of time at all. But then again, you have to be willing to do this, and you have to be in a position where you can handle it as well. Because if you're not capable of looking at this stuff and you haven't got the support and the tools, you could potentially have another problem if it's too much, too soon, too intense, you know, and then you might have another breakdown because of looking at the breakdown. So it's important to do this very gently and depending on what it is.
It depends on what it is also, yeah. Right? It depends on what it is.
If it's a major trauma, most of the triggers, the major triggers, are some trauma that's happened in the past, and now it's coming up in irrational ways. A lot of it can be dealt with in meditation and all these practices, but some of it might require a therapist or trauma expert or someone like that to actually like help you through it, depending on what it is. Because you know, some people I've been reading about trauma recently, and people who come or example is the Vietnam vets, that they, on the 4th of July, when all the fireworks are going off, a lot of them just totally lost it and had to drink loads of alcohol to try and numb themselves, because they got flashbacks of being in the jungle, being attacked by enemy fire and being ambushed and having all their friends killed and stuff like that. So it just comes up. So they needed some proper trauma experts to help them get over that stuff. So in some cases that's needed, but a lot of the time we can just do our practices and meditation. And what would you recommend, Shireen, as someone who's like really wanting to look at this stuff? What do they need to do?
If it is a major trauma, right, like you went to war and you have PTSD, then you might need professional help. But a lot of the triggers that we have, not necessarily professional help. Like normal everyday triggers that we are having. We're not talking about war PTSDs.
Right.
I'm talking about just normal, you know, like I walk into my office and my coworker is wearing a particular perfume and I told her don't wear it because it really bothers me and she still wore it. And it just triggers me into some kind of, you know, let me go kill this soul or something, right? So those actually can be addressed personally. You mm-hmm. don't need a professional. We are talking about those kinds of things. Right, talking about things that you need a professional help for. You don't need a professional help for everything. But many things in our day-to-day life, right, they're triggers that we need help with. Like, for example, in relationships, right? Let's say I am getting triggered by my spouse, and let's just take this, that I'm beginning to feel they don't care, and every time I say something, do something, they just check out or whatever, right? And so I need to address this, but I not only need to address you know, how you can't change the other person. That is one thing we have to understand. You cannot change anyone else. You have to change yourself. If they don't care, they don't care. You can't make them care. But the question you need to ask yourself in a situation like that is, why are you selling yourself short and being in a relationship that the other person doesn't care, right? And so it's not, I always feel like, don't go into a situation blaming. Ask yourself why you are putting up with it. You know, like, don't go into a situation blaming this one did that, right? It doesn't go anywhere because the blame is not on anyone else. The question you need to ask yourself is, why am I doing this? Why am I putting up with this? You know, why do I feel it's okay for me to be, you know, okay with this thing? That is the question we need to ask ourselves.
It's a big topic, isn't it? Why do we put up with such awful things for such a long time?
Yeah, obviously lack of self-respect. Obviously, I think, oh, maybe I can't find anyone else, you know. So many things, right? Like, just be patient. Just wait for they are people who love you. One of the things I always feel about the higher power, God, source, divine, however you want to call the higher power, is that I never question his, her, them. I never question God's love for me because I can feel that love, right? I can feel that presence. I can feel that sense of belonging. I can feel that sense of generous love. And so I feel that there are people in the world who love you, who will be there for you. And if you can't find them right now, don't get into desperate mode. And we get into desperate mode and put up with bad relationship, and then we start blaming the other person. Oh, I'm getting triggered by them. But who's asking you to put up with it? In any situation, we have to take personal responsibility, right? No one is to be blamed. Don't blame yourself, don't blame the other person, but be willing to look at it.
This is a very, very deep topic. We might have to go deeper into this in another session. But the key thing, what I'm taking from this, and I think this is very useful for everyone else, is make sure you're willing to look at this, these triggers. Recognize that they're not about the situation, it's about something else. And it might mean you have to change your life practically and like actually deal with whatever it is, because there's oftentimes things that are not right in our life and it has to be dealt with. But other times it's just emotional stuff that goes back into the past, possibly into past lives. And we need divine help, divine guidance, divine love to heal to heal these parts of us. And just sitting there and allowing ourselves to receive love and to receive healing and to receive what we need to get that spiritual energy that we're looking for, that is that's really what we want. And that can heal our heart, it can heal these traumas, it can heal these triggers. And as we feel full in our being, then because we are feeling internally satisfied, then when these things come up, they don't trigger us because there's nothing left to trigger. Once that healing has happened in within us, then we can have exactly the same situation and it doesn't have any effect on us at all. And that is one of the most wonderful feelings, to go, it doesn't bother me anymore. Yeah, such a blessing.
A lot of the triggers, right, are within our control. We don't need therapists, we don't need professional help. They're within our control. If I'm willing to take personal responsibility, a lot of the triggers are within our control. Many times we are outsourcing everything. You know, we even outsource our mental health. A therapist can only do this much. You can't outsource that. Take responsibility and you will see amazing results.
That's true.
And therapists, so that is,
yeah, therapists can't actually do much, but even if someone changes, they might learn something that they have to do, but then they have to practice that themselves. So one way or the other, it's always back to us, isn't it? And what work we're doing on ourselves.
Right. And the inefficiency, just think of the inefficiency of not looking at it. So as much as possible, the conscious mind and the subconscious mind should be aligned as much as possible. So in the Brahma Kumaris, we talk about the golden age, that there is an age in humanity where it's everything is beautiful, harmonious, pure, you know, everyone is in absolute bliss and joy and happiness. I feel in the golden age, both the conscious mind and the subconscious mind are in total alignment and there's nothing hidden. Everything is very pure and harmonious within the soul. And it's possible, right? It's possible. It's an actual time period on earth and it's possible. And so because it's possible and because you, the soul, have lived like that at some point, you can live like that again. It's like riding a bike. If you know you rode a bike 50 years ago, you sit on a bike now, within a few minutes, you'll be able to ride the bike again. So just accept that, yes, originally your conscious mind, your subconscious mind, both were pure, both were harmonious, both were simple, both were working together, and there was nothing hidden. There was no tyranny of the subconscious mind controlling your life. Nothing of that sort was happening. There was a time period when you were like that. And so accept it, embrace that period of your time. And you will, it's like riding a bike. You will learn, your subconscious mind will start coming under your control. The subconscious mind will start aligning with the conscious mind very soon. But that's a practice you have to keep doing. But also there has to be this faith that yes, at some point it was like this and I can go back to this because that is my original nature. This is not my original nature, having all these triggers, taking a gun and shooting people somewhere because they just cut me off or whatever it is, right? This is not what my life is about. My life is about being great. My life is about being happy. My life is about being in harmony. My life is about being blissful. That is what my life, that's what our lives are about. You know, like it's constantly we have to keep dealing with this subconscious mind, conscious mind, this, that, this. We are wasting time. So embrace that. Embrace that originally you were a pure, peaceful, loving, harmonious soul where both your conscious mind and subconscious mind both were working together. Embrace that and that reality will start happening again because that is your original nature.
That's beautiful. Yay. So come back to that beautiful feeling that you're originally pure and peaceful and happy and blissful. And the more we focus on that and divine light, the more these internal triggers and issues kind of just get cleared and cleansed and healed and purified. And the more full we feel, the more we don't get triggered by things because we're internally satisfied and stable and relaxed. So, Shireen, thank you for your wonderful presence.
Thank you, Michael. How about blessing?
Blessings.
Blessing. Pick a number.
60.
Pick a number after 108.
All right. 112.
Honesty. You are experiencing joyous freedom from embracing every part of who you are. You are one with your true self. You are no longer afraid to open up and show your real self. Your honesty becomes a power that cannot be taken away.
Read it again. I think just keep in mind that this what we've been talking about, this is perfect for overcoming triggers, being honest.
You are experiencing joyous freedom from embracing every part of who you are. You're one with your true self. You are no longer afraid to open up and show your real self. Your honesty becomes a power that cannot be taken away.
That's beautiful. So have a beautiful week, everyone, watching, listening, and thank you for your beautiful presence, good vibrations. And remember that we have a free meditation course, lots of free meditations that you can get in the description, the links. And we will be talking to you next time. Many, many, many blessings. Take care. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.